Good morning, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good to enter into the presence of our Lord and offer Him praise and thanksgiving for all that God has done for us. As we come this morning, a few brief announcements. Please note the times for all of our special Easter services are contained in the bulletin. I won't take your time to announce them all, but they are there. So over the next several weeks, it will be it will be a busy time here at St. John's. And we do encourage everyone to make as many of the services as possible. One of the things is that there is this great arc to the story that begins today and ends on Easter morning, and each of the services plays its part. A couple of things that are not in the bulletin this morning. First, I'm looking for a couple of some volunteers to participate in an ecumenical alpha program that we are contemplating with St. Peter's Roman Catholic Church, Knox St. Paul's United, and Trinity Anglican. And so if you would happen to be available on a Wednesday afternoon at lunchtime to participate in an ecumenical alpha, that would be wonderful, and you can speak to me for more details at the close of the service this morning. A reminder, PWS&D has made a special appeal for funds for relief as a result of the tropical storms that devastated Malawi and much of eastern Africa earlier this month, and you can make a donation to that cause by marking on your envelope or in the comments in your electronic giving, just put Malawi, and that will get it to the right place. And finally, this morning we pray for our sister congregation, Kenyon Presbyterian Church in Dunvegan. They are in the midst of discerning new possibilities for ministry and a search for a new minister, and we will remember them in prayer this morning, as well as the international churches in the Balkans. And finally, I'm still recruiting readers for for the Good Friday service. So if you are around and available, please speak to me at the close of worship, and we can give you a job for that service. As we enter the sanctuary this morning, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we walk in His ways. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord and say together the call to worship. Open to us the gates of righteousness, that we may enter and give thanks to the Lord.
We thank you, O God, that you have answered and you have become our salvation.
God's steadfast love endures forever.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
Let us pray. Lord God Most High, blessed is the one who comes in your name. Lead us now on the road to the cross. May we follow with faithfulness and joy, shouting Hosanna to you. For in Christ we have received our salvation. We pray all these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. And we open our worship this morning by singing the hymn 214, All Glory, All Laud and Honor, hymn number 214. Let us confess our sins to God, whose steadfast love endures forever, as we say together the prayer which appears before us on the screen. God of costly love, it was not enough for you to take on human flesh and form to live with us. It was not enough for you to live humbly without power and to share rich blessings to those in the margins. To conquer our sin, you accepted its penalty. To offer us life, you suffered death. Forgive us, God, when we forget the cost of your love. Forgive us, God, when we act as those who do not know you. Forgive us, God, when we fail to stand with you in service. Give us a new heart and a right spirit that we might live for you, to your glory. Amen. Friends, the Lord God helps us. We will not be disgraced. The Lord God helps us. Who can declare us guilty? Sisters and brothers, beyond the shadow of doubt, your sins are forgiven. By the mercy of Christ, then, let us stand together, forgiven and free. Amen. And we continue in praise with the hymn 218, Hosanna, Loud Hosanna. Hymn 218. We spend our time together this morning celebrating our life as community. It's appropriate probably that we draw your attention to the front of the sanctuary this morning. I said I was going to stand in front, Alex, but I'm going to go behind the table because that way I'm not standing in front of all of the other tables. Over the season of Lent, we have been sharing of our abundance with other people, collecting food for the Agape Center and the food bank. And so as you see, we collected a fair bit of food for Agape this year. The themes were, if you can't remember, we were doing cereal on the first week. I think I've got that right. No, canned goods on the first week. Because they were particularly short of canned goods and pasta sauce. We'll get to those in a second. I actually put them out in order. That's amazing. Canned goods on the first week, cereal on the second, pasta sauce on the third, and then peanut butter today, because who can live without peanut butter? So that's been our collection this year for Agape, as we've shared of ourselves with others through Lent. A funny thing, though, every now and then serendipity happens. Looking at my Facebook page this morning, on a page that I often follow, there was a post that said, "Wear gratitude like a cloak, and it will feed every corner of your life." And indeed, part of the whole process of sharing of ourselves with others in Lent is to acknowledge the gratitude that we bring as we celebrate the goodness of our Lord, and then to feed others that corner of the life of our lives that reaches out into the world. So we're grateful for all of these things that you have shared. It's good that you see the generosity of this congregation visibly before you. And so they're here for us to see this morning, and this week Agape will whisk them away. So a great thank you and gratitude for your sharing during this Lenten season. And during our time of offering, we will pray for these offerings as well. Perhaps I'll just stop here to say the prayer for illumination, and then Andrea can come forward. Let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the mighty, quiet within us every voice but your own. Speak to us through the suffering and death of Jesus Christ, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we may receive grace to show Christ's love in lives given to your service. Amen.
Good morning. The first reading is from the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 9, reading verses 9 to 10. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off. And he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. The second reading is from the Old Testament, Psalm 118, reading verses 1 to 2 and 19 to 29. And it is responsive. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever.
Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever.
Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them, and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it.
I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation.
Has become the chief cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord.
The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar.
You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God. I will exalt.
O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. The last reading is from the New Testament, Corinthians chapter 3, reading verses 18 to 23. Do not deceive yourselves. If you think that you are wise in this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast about people. For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours. And you are Christ's, and the Christ is God's. The following hymn, Ye Gates, Lift Up Your Heads, number 13 in the Book of Praise.
And this morning's gospel lesson is taken from John chapter 12, reading verses, bulletin says 12 to 16, but I've added three verses, 12 to 19. Let us listen for God's word. Now the next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. And so they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Now Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. For as it is written, Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on the donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him. and had been done to him. So the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify. It was also because they heard that he had performed this sign that the crowds went out to meet him. The Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Archaeology fascinates me. I guess it's my lifelong history geek coming out. But from time to time I have the opportunity to sit down in the evening and watch the archaeological shows that appear on television from time to time, usually on TVO. Shows like Time Team from the UK. And I'm absolutely enthralled by how they go about excavating a site, the artifacts they discover, and the extrapolations that they can make. Archaeologists are particular in their work. With paintbrushes and little tiny scrapers and dustpans, they move away layer after layer of soil to uncover the various eras of history. Or here a couple of weeks ago, when I spent a whole evening watching videos on mudlarking. Anybody know what mudlarking is? Hey, thank you, Alex. Alex knows what mudlarking is. It's illegal to do without a license, Alex. So if you are in England and you try that when you're on vacation, don't do it. It's illegal to do without a license. Mudlarking is an activity. It's people who explore the River Thames at low tide because it is a tidal estuary, and they discover the artifacts of the city. Again, history that goes back to the 1700s, the 1600s, the 1500s, back to Roman times. And it's fascinating, I guess, particularly for us who live in countries that haven't had the same waves of occupation and history to them that go back so far. I'm always just amazed at how much history remains. And I was reminded about all of that this past week as I was reading the texts for today and thought about this little fragment of Psalm 118 that is found in the story of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. If you weren't paying attention to the quotation marks, you might actually miss altogether, the fact that the crowds greet Jesus with these words from Psalm 118. Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. And like the layers of archaeological evidence that archaeologists might find on a historic site, so too this psalm has layers of meaning, all of which inform our understanding of its use in this passage this morning. From its use today, in today's text, as Jesus enters Jerusalem, to its broader use as one of the Hallel Psalms, psalms that were recited during the Passover celebration in ancient times, to the intent of the original author. Each has its own meaning to it. And indeed, these words live on for us to this very day, because they are words that are that echo the acclamation of the faithful down through the ages. And the Christian church continues to recite the Benedictus, which is the Latin name for that greeting. Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And those words should be familiar to you all, because we say them every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper. They are words that have been spoken by the faithful for millennia. As modern readers of Scripture, it's important for us to acknowledge not only these our present day interpretations of Scripture, but also to dig deeper and to uncover what the biblical text meant for its first hearers. And so we look at Psalm 118 this morning. Psalm 118 that we speak of is a psalm of thanksgiving to God. If you were listening carefully to Andrea as she read it this morning and as you joined in your responses, it was a psalm of thanksgiving that was delivered by the author who had come through difficult times. It is a celebration of the goodness and the steadfastness of God. Throughout the psalm, there is this repeated refrain: give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Indeed, the text hints that this might be one of the original Psalms of David. For it makes reference to how God has helped the author of the psalm overcome his enemies in battle. That is in the section that we jumped over this week, but you'll get to hear some of that next week because the psalm comes back. And in response to God's strong presence with the psalmist has come to the temple to make his offering and to give thanks to God. This is the significance of those words: open to me the gates of righteousness that I may enter and go through them and give thanks to the Lord. It is an act of worship to which the author alludes, and then continues in verses 20 to 27 and 28. This is the gate of the Lord, and the righteous shall enter it. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, and I will extol you. Indeed, so profound were these words for worship that they became associated with the worship of the temple. They became a form of liturgy, a responsive reading that was used in the temple as people gathered and gave thanks to God. And that continued, that grew. Right? We mentioned that this is one of the Hallel Psalms, one of the collection of Psalms, Psalm 113 to 118, which were recited as part of the Passover Seder. It is believed that at the time of Jesus, in fact, this psalm and this liturgy was part of the entry of the people as they came to Jerusalem for the Passover. During the time of the Second Temple Judaism, it was expected that any faithful male who could make the trip to Jerusalem for the high festivals of the Jewish faith would do so. And Passover was the highest of those festivals. So you can imagine the crowds coming in pilgrimage for the Passover festival. And as they're completing the last part of that journey, imagine you've walked for several days if you've lived in the further reaches of the promised land to arrive at Jerusalem, and you're completing the very last part of the journey. You're going up the hills that lead through the gates through the walls of the gated city of Jerusalem. And all of a sudden, you start to hear the singing. The singing of Psalm 118. And you know that you have reached your destination. You have reached the highest level of your worship. For you will soon stand in the temple, in the presence of God. Imagine what that must have been like to be part of a crowd like that. Imagine the excitement and the great joy. That's part of what we see this morning in this snapshot that John gives us. This rejoicing and great joy that would have been part of the beginning of the Passover celebration, and in the middle of it is Jesus. In the middle of the voiced worship and praise of people from around what was then the known world, Jesus enters Jerusalem. Scholars say that in Jesus' time, the city of Jerusalem, at the time when of the festivals, when people would be coming in, the city of Jerusalem during the days of Passover was the largest city in the world, filled as it was with pilgrims from across the known world, Parthians and Greeks and Romans, as well as those from the Promised Land, all there to share in this great festival. But there's more to this psalm than even all of that. By the time of Jesus, Psalm 118 has become associated with the great messianic hope of the children of God. It is the prayer that as God had helped the original author of the psalm to overcome his enemies in battle, now God would drive out the Roman legions of occupation and Herod and Pilate and restore the promised land to the people of God. There is a geopolitical reality to this psalm that is sung as Jesus comes through the gates as well. And it is also part of the response of the Pharisees that we hear in verse 19 when they declare, "See, you can do nothing. Look, the whole world has gone after him." The Pharisees, you see, were the ones who tried to thread the needle to keep the delicate peace and balance in Jerusalem, to keep peace so that the Romans would not obliterate the practice of the Jewish faith, and yet to keep the Jewish people, ameliorated to their Roman overlords. It was a delicate balancing act that, as we see so often in Scripture, didn't go well. But all of this drama is happening as Jesus enters the city of Jerusalem with these words of this song of praise echoing through the streets. And Jesus seeks to correct the crowd in their interpretation of the psalm. Right? The crowd says, "Hosanna! Save us! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." A little extra tag there. And Jesus, in response, casts a different version, a different vision of who the intended person to come is in this psalm. While the crowds are longing for a conquering hero who will set them free, Jesus looks to the heart of the original psalmist and to the prophecy of Zechariah and paints a different picture. The psalmist who first uttered this psalm, David perhaps, was humbled, right? He was the humble warrior. He was the cornerstone that had been rejected. The psalmist acknowledges that any greatness that has come, any victory that has happened, is the Lord's doing, not his own. And likewise, the Jesus who enters Jerusalem riding on a donkey draws to our mind the deliverer of Zechariah chapter 9, who liberates Jerusalem from the time of the exile, but without any of the pomp and military might that went along with the liberation of a city. You see, back in ancient times, when a conquering army laid siege upon a city and eventually gained control of it, they would burst through the gates, and the highest ranking official, the governor or the general, would ride through on his war horse, snarling and snorting, hoofs pounding upon the ground, followed by legion upon legion of Roman soldiers. All of the local officials who had been taken captive, bound in chains, and all of the riches of that country brought before them in procession so that they could see how they had been subjugated. But Zechariah paints this picture not of the conquering hero, but of a king who comes in riding an awkward little donkey. And Jesus draws on that image and likewise awkwardly rides through the gates of Jerusalem. At the heart of Psalm 118 and at the heart of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem today is an age-old question. Are you a servant or are you a Lord? John tells us that the crowds wanted to make Jesus king because, at least in part, they had witnessed his raising of Lazarus from the dead. And yet we know that this great act was not Jesus' own doing, but it was a manifestation of the glory and the power of God that had been given to Jesus to heal. And as we look through Jerusalem's gates this morning and peer past the Jesus riding on the donkey, we look past to see the praetorium where Jesus will be scourged. We look past and we look down the Via Dolorosa to the hill of the cross where Jesus will eventually die. And we know that the Jesus who saves is not the victor. The Jesus who saves is not the Lord, but he is the servant. The Jesus who saves must put on the mantle of humility and bear our sins upon the cross. And that is something that cannot be accomplished by military might, but only by one pure and perfect sacrifice. We cannot find life in the kingdom of death, but we must instead look to our God. God intervenes in our world to bring us the gift of salvation, and it is marvelous in our sight and unexpected. The rejected are honored. Those who have power, who have no power, pardon me, are given places of privilege. And those who think that they have sway in their world must declare that they can do nothing. For see, even the whole world has gone in a different direction. The message of the psalmist is simple. And lest you forget it, the psalmist both begins and ends this psalm, Psalm 118, with that message. Lest we become so distracted that we miss the point. The psalmist's great acclamation is simply this: give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, His steadfast love endures forever. As we travel down the days of this week and all of the things that will happen in our lives of faith and in the life of Jesus Christ, let us remember first and foremost that Christ comes as an expression of God's steadfast love. That God is good. And that through this week, we will indeed be assured that the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let our hosannas to the one who brings liberation take form in the gifts that we present. Let us now bring before God our tithes and offerings. God of all good gifts, we thank you for showing us how to care for one another. May these gifts lead to great feasting for those who have no banquets set before them. May these gifts bring shelters and places of prayer for those who are homeless. May these gifts proclaim your desire that all your creation live in peace. Give us grateful hearts, O God. In the name of the one who came to draw all people unto himself, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us continue in prayer. Holy God, you reveal the truth about your people and the ways of our world in the suffering of the Son and of his steadfast love. Show us again the image of humility you desire for us all, and teach us obedience, so that self-emptying may be our pathway. Our Savior Jesus comes to us humbly, riding a donkey, proclaiming a message of peace. We uphold before you today the Church of Jesus Christ around the world, the earth and all its creatures, and all people who are in need. We pray this day for our brothers and sisters at Kenyon Presbyterian Church in Dunvegan as they explore new opportunities for ministry and to call a new minister. Guide them by your Holy Spirit in these endeavors. We pray also for the Christian communities in the Balkans, for the churches of Albania, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Croatia, Kosovo, Montenegro, North Macedonia, Serbia, and Slovenia. We thank you for the rich diversity that is embodied in these churches, and we pray for your Spirit of healing, that historic memories and pains may be healed. Be with those, your servants, who are committed to the work of reconciliation between religious and ethnic groups. We pray that all Christians might hear afresh the self-giving love of Jesus found in Scripture, that we might be so moved as to share Jesus' love as true disciples. Help us to proclaim Christ's message of peace and move the hearts of people around the world to receive him who comes as Prince of Peace. We pray for all leaders of both church and state that they might prefer humble service instead of empty power. May all people in this world live lives of gratitude, that they might receive with thanksgiving the gifts of nourishment, friendship, family, trust, patience, and hope. And may we be so moved by courage and wisdom to change all those things that are not life-giving. We give you thanks for our ancestors, those whose faith and witness have inspired our own. And we pray for all those who mourn this day, that they may be comforted, and that we who hope to greet Jesus when he comes again will be ready and filled with joy. Until his coming, make us co-workers in your vineyard, that freedom and justice may flourish, and hold us steadfast in prayer, praying in the manner that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing praise for this morning is the hymn 217, Ride On, Ride On in Majesty, hymn 217.
Oh,
And now, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus our Lord. Look not to rewards and celebrity for your good deeds. Do unto others what will nurture God's will for them. Listen to the word of the Lord and believe. And go in peace, assured of God's presence with you, with the mind of Christ Jesus as your pathway and guide, and the constant companionship of the Holy Spirit. Amen.